Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
And welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio, everybody.
Welcome yourself.
I just did. My name is Steve.
I'm Larry O'Grady.
Mike Perillo.
Jonathan Perillo.
And this is Pete Leonard, back from the dead.
Welcome back, Pete.
I have a jar. He's arisen.
Is he? I think I seen him in the emergency room on Wednesday.
Cut his finger off of his lawnmower. And just popped it back out.
I would. Well, he could have stopped by my room, touched me in the stomach. That would have helped the pancreatitis. So.
He did. But...
Oh!
Oh!
You guys.
For the joke, I was going to make there that I'm going to be wrong live. So I hope I'm talking.
If you have any comments or concerns, or if you want to hear the rest of Jonathan's joke.
Let me try to find the call-in number here. It's been 2 weeks since you've had the
call-in
pleasure of the Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.
Did you not have that written down last time, right by your side?
Well, it's like a 1-800...
Something, right?
It's like 1-888-429-5471.
And again? 188?
1-888-429-5471. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the pleasure of broadcasting here from
DuPaolo's, right here from downtown Rome, New York.
We're on the street and all the rotters are out. The indigenous peoples that are quite scary.
It's a particularly interesting place.
Seems to be a lot of motorcycle people out tonight as well.
I'm going to close the window while you gentlemen take over.
So. You're using my crap.
I don't need headphones. Are you, everybody's working?
They're not good headphones. Be my guest, use them by.
No, I'm fine. I can hear myself talk.
Do you want to try?
We need to make a special announcement. I'm pretty sure everybody who knows this, but Mercury is in retrograde. I repeat, Mercury is in retrograde.
Great, what does that mean for us?
Yeah, I have no idea what the hell that means, but that's all that's been over Facebook.
That Mercury is in retrograde.
Let's find out what that means. Okay, or so, if you know what it means, give us a call.
1-888-429-5471. Or if you'd like to talk about ghosts, ghouls, witches, vampires, ladies of the night of
sky
a paranormal whales. Relation.
Sky whales.
Sky whales.
I was actually just talking to somebody about sky whales, Mike. What is a sky whale?
Sky whale. Well, Peter, a sky whale is a whale that swims through the sky.
That's it?
If you ask someone what's a fish. Yes, no. And it occasionally lands, generally in the southwestern part of the United States, where it allows passengers to board through its mouth, where it takes them on epic adventures throughout the stars.
Doesn't it involve circus people?
It can.
Okay.
Circus, I wasn't certain.
Yes. I thought it ate them or something.
Just like the Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus and the Clowns.
Mike almost got us kicked out of the Bob Evans of Dunkirk with his sky whale tail. The tale of a whale.
It's the tale of a whale. It's more like the adult version of the Great Space Coaster.
But to segue into a little cryptozoo that we never really get into, have you heard of the skyfish? Which is an actual phenomenon? No, they're like little winged dragons that you see when you look into the blue sky. Do you know that they are actually very prominent around the Albany, New York area?
I am totally
rods. Rods.
Sky rods, I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. I sky did rods, a bunch of research on these.
Oh.
And a lot of this stuff came out in like the 70s when cameras were being upgraded and things were changing technology-wise. So all these people are getting these rods and they don't, and it's a huge paranormal phenomenon. Well, it's just the shutter speed. It's bugs. It's bugs flying by. It makes it look like it's got four or five wings. and then people automatically assumed that it was, you know, something paranormal. These are some of the artist renditions that I have. I'm pulling up pictures and showing people. That's what people were saying they look like. And but it's just
the rods.
The
Chinese actually did a study on that a few years ago, and that's what they equated it to be, the
just
focal length of bugs in modern digital photography and the horrible closed caption cameras. And
well, the first thing you learn in a photography class is about long exposure pictures.
Exactly, that's like one of
them. You can do it with somebody holding a sparkler in a circle. If you take a long exposure picture, all you see is like a fire circle.
And a lot of digital cameras now, you could change shutter speed. Mm-hmm. You could change it to really, really slow. You get, so who knows?
However, you know our diehards, they always believe that's alien life forms.
It's like, that's like the crypto version of the orb.
Pretty much.
Controversial.
Pretty much.
What is it, what's the crypto version of the orb?
The sky rod.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Well, effectively, the orb's the same thing that you see in a ton of them now as camera. It's like photography technology improves. Like if you look at like our DVR cameras, when we set them up and it looks like a room's snowing.
Yeah.
It's just because they're higher resolution, so they're picking up more
crap.
And that's why a lot of people, especially amateur, am I professional enough to use that word now? Amateur investigators.
Oh, so you mean there are some paranormal investigating groups out there that will take a bunch of pictures of things in their basement.
Yes, Larry.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but they'll post these pictures of dust from their basement.
Correct, Larry.
And say that they're orbs.
Larry's an angry old dude.
Yes. Yes.
Huh, go figure.
Now, I'm not saying orbs aren't real. I'm not saying every picture of an orb is fake. Because you have seen some that...
But pay attention and know what you're talking about before you go posting things on social media.
Self-illuminating.
Well, actually, are we allowed to talk about what happened last week here?
Yeah, why not? We always do.
We, basically the, no, I won't talk about it. But I'll just say at one point we saw a full-blown apparition shrink down to a small ball of light. That would theoretically be an orb because we watched it.
Yes.
There was no camera involved. That was
not saying every picture of an orb is wrong, because some of them are interesting.
Don't mind us, ladies and gentlemen. We've been wound up all night for a good reason.
But generally, yes, the digital cameras take pictures so clear. Actually, digital photography has led to all sorts of interesting pictures as they...
The porn industry has changed forever.
As Dr. Dave always points out, by the fact that it did, like, old school cameras obviously work. You take a picture, what appears on film is what you take a picture of. We all know digital breaks it down and then reassembles it, and it causes all sorts of crazy. I think that's why you see a lot of people with pictures and there's like weird faces in the background. I think it's just how the camera reconstructs.
Well, there's also a thing they call them sunspots, whereas after a certain while, if your sensor needs to be cleaned in a digital camera, it will, certain rays of light won't get dispersed, but rather will be picked up at an intense point. And so you have these little,
that's what those little points of like bright colors are,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of
you have these, and it's purely technological. There's nothing there.
That's just
the way the light is hitting the lens and the way the sensor is picking it up shows that.
Nice. I didn't know that.
That makes sense because a lot of the $10,000 plus cameras have to be serviced once a year, and that's probably what they're doing is cleaning the sensors.
Or we had a picture one time somebody gave us. I think it was a member from a family's outing. That looked like they were all sitting in like a living room. Behind the couch, it looked like there's a streak of blood running down the wall. And
was that a picture that somebody sent to us?
Somebody in the group took
it,
or somebody relayed. And Dr. Dave, being the expert, looked at it and pretty much put it together that there was a red balloon in one corner. And just when the magic happens that puts the digital image back into a picture, it just dragged colors in the wrong spots, and that gives you your picture. So with modern camera equipment, I think it throws off a lot of.
See, I want to do a couple investigations with just film and audio tapes.
We need to save
old
our
school
money.
Type
we need thing. To save our pennies and get ourselves a Carillion camera. Go truly old school.
Yeah.
and one of those gold, what is it, gold beryllium microphones. They're like $8,000 or $10,000.
It'll be saving a while.
It'll pick up a butterfly flapping its wings.
Well, there might be a wealthy benefactor out there that might want to adopt Rip. We are quite likable.
If you're a wealthy benefactor.
1-888-429-5471, Post Office Box 4751, Rome, New York, 13442. So the other thing that really has our Jiminy's all cricketed tonight is New York has also been the center focus of the paranormal once again because people just don't know how to act. Over the weekend, the Willard Reformatory Asylum, or whatever it's actually called now, opened up to the public, and 5,000 people or more descended on the asylum for these tours, which quickly broke down into chaos. People left the tours that they were assigned to. People started breaking in the buildings that were labeled off limits. The guards, the state guards, were actually called in. They called in the police. People were being arrested. It was just a total nightmare of disrespect for the sanctity of what was there.
Do we have any idea who was in charge of setting this up?
I'm not sure offhand. I was trying to find the article before we came on, but, you know, I could never find any of the stuff when we need it for the show. But
I assume the Willard's an old...
Yes, it's out in the Finger Lakes region. It's one of the more... profound places. A few years ago, they put a book out, The Suitcases of Willard.
Oh, I remember
that. Which was
that.
The one where they showed the final possessions of people.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
That was cool.
I remember that.
Where they were told the family members are going to this special place, and they just drop them off and abandon them there.
You know, people were sent from all over New York State, from county homes, poor houses. Like, there was one guy, I believe he was, like, in a crate they shipped. Shipped him in like a 3-foot wooden crate to Willard. Why would you want to disrespect these people? I mean, we're paranormal investigators. I don't really like going in places like that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Steve might have some input on this too, but I feel if I'm going into a place like that or a nursing home, I'm going there to comfort the spirit. Oh, it's sure. Not even about me at that point. It's like something there needs to rest. And
yep, absolutely.
We sort of seen that happen last year at the Utica Asylum when they were just overwhelmed by the crowd. I mean,
they had way more than that.
They probably actually had probably 2,000 or 3,000, even for that, for a quick tour of... I mean, we understand the interest in the paranormal. We know everybody wants to be scared and everybody wants to believe, but there comes a point, too, you know, you need to actually respect...
That's
the universe
thing,
and
no
the spirit
that's... Yeah. No same matter what you do, you got to have respect. Whether you call into someone's home or you're doing a public investigation, that respect has to be there for the people and for what's on the inside.
Well, your beliefs are out the window when someone calls you in
sure.
to help them.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and whether you believe it or not,
right.
respect these people. They,
yep.
You know, respect the place, respect the people. Don't...
The same reason you don't investigate in a graveyard. I mean, that's a place of rest.
And I've never
exactly.
done
exactly. And you
no.
know what? Another thing, say you go into a graveyard, say you go into a cemetery, you're trespassing first off.
Yeah, first off.
You go in there and say you do catch something. Well, what are you going to do after? You're going to post it on Facebook. And what's going to happen? You're going to get a million kids going into that cemetery,
yeah.
destroying things.
Yeah.
You and then that just
we
makes every single paranormal investigating
anyway.
Group ever look horrible.
If you go during the day, you would be trespassing.
You would. Okay, thanks, Mike.
It's still a respect thing. No,
yes,
I'm just teasing.
You know, like we did the Salem Con. I'm walking through the old burial ground there, which was 1670, 1680. And it's like I'm standing there in front of a grave of a passenger that's on the Mayflower. I mean, the last thing, and I'm a diehard paranormalist. The last thing I'm thinking about is, let me take out my cell phone and do an EVP. It's like, holy crap, I'm standing in the presence of one of the first people that ever stepped on American soil, and it's like, wow.
I'm going to have to step in and play devil's advocate again. But I think that's a hypocritical notion that you're to be like, oh, a cemetery is a place of peace, so I wouldn't want to go interfere there. But what if you, like a house where it's just like a, I lost my whole point now. Non-intelligent haunting,
Just a residual?
A residual haunting, where they're just playing to... Isn't that the same sort of...
But it's like going to a hospital to sell meds. The cemetery is obviously a place where you know that you're going to find something. It's a cemetery. Like, what's the point of investigating there? At that point, you're investigating for the point of investigating. And there's no...
Right.
Like, I don't see what kind of... Like, you find evidence...
Well, that's... You're a paranormal investigator, hence you investigate. The helping people is something our group happens to do, but there's no saying every paranormal investigator is in it to help people who are on it.
Sure.
You're in it
to
investigate the paranormal, so it would stand to reason that a cemetery would be... I mean, personally, I believe that cemeteries make bad spots to investigate just because there's nothing there.
I understand where you're
going. Nobody dies there, you know what I mean? They either move on or they stay wherever they die. My personal belief. But I think to draw the line at, I'll interfere with this ghost, but I'm not going to interfere with this ghost.
And I think, too, and this is my totally non-professional opinion, I think a cemetery is also a place where you might not know what you're going to find. And you might find something more than what you're bargaining for.
Yes. Absolutely.
I guess the point can be made that also a cemetery is sort of a much like at the asylum last year, instead of dealing with one spirit in a house, suddenly you're talking to 300 of them rushing you.
Sure.
Yes.
But after 400 years in the same cemetery, wouldn't you just move on anyway? It's like, what the hell?
Like a pilgrim
It's like, why am I here?
Oh, I've got better places to be than that.
Sure, that pilgrim...
Oh my God, Denny's is across the street.
I'm sure that pilgrim's like, I escaped English and religious persecution and come all this way to America to farm a new country just so the Hawthorne can charge $400 a night.
For a room that's one-third the size of our
office.
For
a room that's 5x5.
Really, that's small, huh?
So if you'd like to weigh in on your thoughts, 1-888-429-5471. But let me shoot this right back to something Larry said. Now, you're going into someone's house to help them. And we've been very conscious of this, and we've always tried to train our members. You have to be careful what you say to a family.
Yes.
You start freaking out, like, oh my God, look at these orb pictures. Your basement is so haunted. Next thing you know, they're moving.
Yeah.
So you've upset a happy family from their home with your crap, basically.
There's a fine line, and we can all say we've all seen investigators that have gone both. There's a fine line between, to bring up the orb picture, between that's just dust, that's nothing, and oh my God, that's the devil's face. And when dealing with people, you have to walk that fine line. You can't be too skeptical where they come out with pretty much looking insane. And you can't be too much of a believer where you're now fueling their paranoia. So there is kind of a fine line. And we've actually seen other groups that have ruined it. How many times have we been called and they're like, oh, the previous group said I wouldn't go upstairs anymore because the devil lives up there.
And then they get mad at us because we don't find him.
There's a demon in the basement. There's a demon in my closet. Do something about it.
That's another reason that psychics kind of rub me the wrong way a little bit. Now, I've met people that say that they're psychic or sensitive, and they're fine, you know? And then you go into a place, like you were just saying, Mike, you go into a place and they say, oh, the group that was just here had a psychic and they said that there's, again, that one, there's a demon and there's
the
a portal and
dark energy.
Oh my God, these people were so nervous.
And you can't come back from that because we go there and it comes down to either, well, we didn't find anything. And their initial response was always, well, the psychic said it was there.
Yeah.
And then you can't validate his number.
Maybe call him to get in touch with him.
We had a case like that.
Because the minute you validate that, you're like, well, we are getting some weird readings from God. It's the devil. Well, not, but they've already imprinted that suggestion on them. So.
People have asked me, I mean, I don't know about you guys. They say, and being in the hospital over the week, almost dying, once the nurses find out you're a paranormal investigator, you start getting extra ice cream.
Yes, exactly. Did your nurses like to come in the middle of the night and ask you paranormal questions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One actually just sat right on the bed, and she's like, I went to your event at the Rucker Mansion. So I love you guys. And then she brought me.
That Rucker Mansion event was great. You guys be on the lookout because we're going to be doing another one.
September 26th.
Heck yeah. 26th. That was so much fun.
I got so much orange ice. Did you get the orange ice when you were in the hospital, Steve?
No.
Oh.
No orange ice.
But one of them asked, and they're like, Why do you do this? They're like, you saw something when you were a kid. Why do you do what you do? I said, the reason I do this is for that one family that you help. And I know of one family that I specifically help. And to me, everything I've done before that, up to and past this, I know I helped that family. And that was my good deed for the... And it involved a little girl whom doctors had considered psychotic. They were about to start her on a massive slew of drugs. Her aunt actually ran into us at the city garage sale, and I think it was Mark and Nicole and me handled the case. And the aunt's like, you know, this is weird. She's like, do you think the kid could be experiencing paranormal? I'm like, well, we're not medical doctors. I can't tell you if she's got a problem or not, but, you know, call us in and we'll give you the best. But that was one of the cases where we got called in. We were able to actually document the activity right in front of the parents. And the parents actually broke down, and the father, he's like, if you weren't here, he's like, I would never have believed what I seen with my own eye. He's like, I seen everything that she did. She's like, I have no doubt in my mind there's nothing wrong with my daughter. Now, that girl could have been on psychotic drugs for the rest of her life for nothing.
Yep.
Just because that's what modern medicine considers.
Well, antipsychotics.
Antipsychotics.
Have you got in touch with that family recently?
We see her every year at the city garage sale, the aunt, and she hugs us every year.
Very nice.
It's like you saved him from that. That's why I do it. I mean,
yep.
Does it matter? Yes. And that's why we say it matters what you say. It matters what you do.
Especially if you're looking at you for answers. People are looking at you for answers, and you're going to sit there and say that there's a demon in the house. What are you doing?
You know what? That kid can turn 18. She really may have problems down the road. I don't know, but I mean, for the time being,
she's okay.
I guess that's always my question. Perhaps this opens, coming from this discussion, maybe into a bigger discussion, but what is the first principle of paranormal investigation? Is it because we're looking for some scientific proof of an unseen reality, or is it because there is a valuable... service to be provided. Maybe not a service, but I don't know if that's the right word.
Well, I'd say
but
so.
It's valuable to people.
Yeah. I mean, we're there to get, they say, I see this happen, I see a, this is an example. I see a guy walk down the hallway every day and I'm the only one that sees it. Mm-hmm. People think I'm nuts. You go in, you actually catch it on videotape, there you go. You caught it on videotape for that person. That's something you can give them and say, hey, you're not crazy.
You know, because that's when we go into a home. 90% of the time that people say to us, you know, we don't want to seem crazy. I'm sure you guys heard that, you know. We don't want to look crazy. No, you don't, you're not, or sound crazy. No, you're not crazy.
I would say remove the word scientific from that question. Because that'll get you in trouble with the scientific, what do you call it, mm-hmm. skeptical inquirer people, mm-hmm. That whole community of, there's nothing we do is scientific, there never will be.
I would say we can find
correlations between things.
Yep.
We can find the correlations between temperature changes and certain activity that's happening. We can find correlations between spikes in electromagnetic fields and activity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these things seem to happen. You'll get these high spikes on any of our tools. You get these high spikes, and then something will happen. Just because we're finding these correlations, yeah, we're using tools, we're using equipment, but we're not really scientifically cataloging this, which I don't think it would be a bad idea if we started trying to find these correlations. You know,
that's where I think the waters get murky is the fact that when you put scientific in front of it, people assume you're focusing on, like, science.
Yeah.
But actually what it comes down to is at the end of the day, you're a scientific research group because at the end of the day, you do the scientific method.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is effectively what we do. We don't come up with our own hypothesis, but if someone says there's a ghost in my house, in theory, that's our hypothesis that we then go in mm-hmm. with the equipment we have to perform our experiment to try and prove it true.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just scientific has become in the public parlance, this suddenly means you're, you know, in support of evolution. And
and I've had fights in the past week, actually, with like people over theoretical science. And it's like, don't argue with me about the paranormal when you're studying a field of science that has the word theoretical in it.
Well, parapsychology and paranormal is a theoretical science. It falls under within that same realm, dealing with consciousness.
See, I would think, and I've said this for years, they need to make the movement towards mathematics. I don't have the brain power to do that. But probability. Was that a ninja?
I just got to point out.
I thought that was a ninja. Yeah.
There's a ninja walking. Okay, sorry.
Wow. No, it's Rome, okay?
Again, what is the probability of that? Rome, 1 out of 3. Does he have a sword?
And for, actually, to get back to your question, the principle of paranormal investigation totally dependent on individual investigator.
Okay.
Like, as a group, we are there to help people, first and foremost, that will take precedence. But as individuals, I would probably all have a different reason for doing what we do. I'm sure some people are to help people more about other things. That's not my main goal. Like, I'm all for helping
you. Want woman, we know.
I'm all for the ladies. But
so if you want to date Mike, it's 1-888-429-5471.
If you'd like to get a little freaky.
And if you're a Canadian, it's 530-413-9537.
Eight.
Like, for instance, this one case with the girl. We gave her the K2 meter. We're like, this is a toy. Give this to your friend. She can make it change colors. Only she can make it change colors. She took the K2 meter, ran to the corner, thing went to red. Oh, she's over here, went to red. Everywhere that kid moved, that thing went to red.
Yes, pretty much.
Then she's like, oh, she left. We sat there an hour and a half and not a single thing in the whole house happened. Then she's like, oh, she's in the bathroom. Gave her the thing, red. It's like
imaginary friend around the house.
Uh-huh. It's like, what is the mathematical probability? See, that's where I like math over science. What is the probability of that versus going to just another random house, giving a kid the thing, and is like a what would you call it, an equivalency test, maybe? Or see, I'm not even versed with science, but...
Me neither. I'm just making up the way I go.
Yeah.
I watched all 5 seasons of Fringe.
Fringe.
That's enough. I'm a qualified scientist.
And if you...
Dr. David, the qualified guy.
And if you've seen my Facebook page, I've baited people with the Neil deGrasse Tyson photo there. It says, the good thing about science is it's true, even if you don't believe in it. And I posted, that's your opinion.
And I've had
people arguing back and forth with me like, no, science is fact. Well, that's your opinion.
Massive thing of opinion, fact.
You still cannot tell me where we came from. That's where we go into theoretical science. Well, then don't laugh at me with paranormal science. I mean, I have an idea where it starts. I think there's a box at the edge of the universe. In front of the box is God, and then everything we know. Behind the box is darkness. That's what's holding the darkness back. That's what I thought.
We have to start from a place that believes in some empirical truth, that there are some things in the world that are objectively, not a matter of opinion, but objectively absolutely true. Now, if somebody could tell me that nothing is true, they'd be contradicting themselves. Because to say that
nothing is true is making it true.
Is making it objective.
Because it makes, it makes the fact that if nothing is true, then nothing being true is the truth.
Yeah. You contradict yourself. And you can't do that.
Not logic. So illogical.
It's philosophy, baby.
I mean, we know the universe is expanding, energy's created, redistributed, sucked up, destroyed, whatever, but you still can't tell me where it came from. Yeah. What is that source?
You're right, because I guess they say...
Is it Robin Williams' head floating in outer... What the hell was that movie? Baron Munchausen. The big head's floating in space.
Back to Zardoz. Jane Stonehead, Sean Connery, and like an S&M outfit. No. to get a chance to check out his art, Oz.
I mean, I'm not saying God's real. God may be the universe. God may be a specific person. It may be a specific power. I mean, I've always leant towards it's an individual who has workers under him, angels and whatnot.
He came from Zeta Reticulon. Rita.
We don't know. You know, it would make sense that there has to be some source of nothing beyond the universe we know in order for that to actually be. Again, if every day is a sunny day, what is a sunny day?
That's one of the things that it's like trying to picture the universe and then like the edge of space. Well, what's beyond it? More space. And it's like we can't comprehend this infinite thing.
But if you just said it's the edge of space, there can't be more space.
Right. It's like, so what happens if you go beyond it?
Yeah.
Well, now you're...
In the darkness?
You just walk out and you're in like... You're on Staten Island?
You come out of the dome Truman was in? I mean,
hey, what are you doing on my block?
Somebody cue the sun.
Yeah. Like, Men in Black. The first Men in Black at the end where we were just at Marvel. That... No, it's pretty deep, though.
That's what we're here for. That's why we're investigators and not ghost hunters. Ghost hunters want the crap scared out. That's all it is a thrill.
Yeah,
that's why we always have to differentiate ourselves. Plus, it sounds more prestigious with the ladies, right, Mike? So, Canadians, 530-413-9537.
That's why actually would even work better than paranormal investigator. Occult consultant.
A cult consultant. I like that, Mike. That was good.
As opposed to a B cult consultant?
We do have to give an on-the-air... Congratulations to Mike. Mike has been promoted within the organization for years of faithful service. He was promoted to the rank of consigliere.
And Rich Consigliere.
We gave him the honor of being the choosing whether he wanted to be a wartime or a peacetime
and
one.
A peacetime, but I think I can handle myself as a wartime.
Well, you know what?
Wartime being we'd have to crush people with the weight
with
of bread.
The weight of bread, yes. Which Rip seems to be very good at.
We'll just lay our ass smell right on them and crush them right into the dirt.
Destroy them.
Well, on a father's side, the last name is Consiglio, which in Italian means I advise. Consigliare is to advise.
Come
to give
advice. So it's line of conciliaris.
We know of no better person.
Consigliere. Advice giver. Advisor.
Other than Larry, who left the room, he would just sledgehammer someone. They would just be.
I had an uncle.
Larry, go.
Larry sledgehammer O'Grady.
I had an uncle back in the 70s running for mayor under the slogan of chicken in every pot and two in mine.
Now, is that two or a couple, two, tree?
A couple, two, tree. Chicken in every pot, couple, two, tree in mine.
Because you always got to have the two, tree in there. Just in case you run out, you got to have more.
Two, tree, couple, two, tree.
So what do you think, Steve? What do you think about the infiniteness of space and our nothingness as an existence of a creature?
It's infinite. It's infinite. And he could be hiding anywhere.
Actually, what further complicates things is if you then add, like, what we're investigating into it, not only do you have infinite space now, but now you have infinite levels of, you know what I mean, like a spirit world or at least whatever it is that ghosts live in.
Different plane.
It's like a whole new level of infinity added to the infinite you're already dealing with. Can you double infinity?
I always feel that when you're talking about depth, when you're talking about that infinity, you're talking about a horizon.
Right.
A horizon that's always there. But to reach it, it wouldn't be in a horizon anymore. So when we're talking about depth, we have to know that it's not necessarily the physical manifestation of reality, but the horizon upon which reality is focused. If that makes sense. So when we talk about depth, it's something that's there, and can we find ground in depth? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But part of depth is that abyss, is that constant infinity, is that constant. And you see that in whether a big picture, you know, paranormal and universes, but I think too, even in relationships with one another. There's a depth to a relationship that you have ground in, but there's always a constant horizon to become to.
Sure. Now, I've been reading a book on communicating with St. Michael, and I don't have the notes here, but there was something mentioned in there specifically about, was it like the fourth veil or something like that? That's the crossover between here, Little Caesars, Rome, New York, Black River Boulevard.
Sorry.
I was looking for their phone number, but ours is 1-888-429-5471. If you'd like to order one for Larry, he'd be much appreciated.
Yeah.
He'll be swinging by after the show to pick it up.
What do you like on it, Larry?
What do you want on your pizza?
Oh, I don't, you know what?
He's
I don't like
a pineapple ham pack.
No, not at all. No, I'm a straight up like
pizza.
I gotta have extra meat.
You like
extra cheese?
Oh, it's good, isn't it?
Yeah,
bacon.
Oh, yeah, the more the better. Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just.
Mike, you can go to hell.
I read you wrong there. Like,
I'm all pineapple
bacon.
Bacon.
Yeah. Pineapple, bacon, and ham.
Pineapple and bacon. What? Yeah, maybe.
So, I cut you off with my...
Oh, no, I don't even know what I was...
Maybe we have another star-studded cavalcade.
I'll get the notes for the next show so I don't misspeak, but it was something about a veil that specifically separates the living human race on a theological plane that the angels or archangels have to bring them to the next plane, which might explain why they can't ever come back. There is some kind of defense, apparently, then, between us
and them
and what's there.
So even if you die, you can't.
Well, speaking
much,
of theological...
Well, much like...
Again, it's a book. I don't know how true it is,
but that goes back in the day, even with the ancient Greeks. Their spirits had to be ferried across the River Styx by boatman, and then once you were in Hades, there was no coming back. You were stuck there for whatever...
Well, this isn't the implication of a hell. This is like you're being moved to wherever you're being moved.
Hades wasn't. To the ancient Greeks, Hades wasn't hell. Hades was just their underworld. That's where there was a part of it set aside for punishing evildoers, but for the most part, Hades was just where you went when you died. It wasn't, the Christians turned it into hell eventually, but kind of like.
Or Bismarck, North.
With your brother, Gryffindor.
Bismarck, North Dakota.
Well, long before the Christians, the Jewish people had a of a hell.
I'm not saying hell. I'm just saying Hades.
Yeah,
hell. It was just
most people automatically assume Hades is.
Yeah, but it was just the Greek underworld. It was
go to H-E double hockey sticks.
I've been demonized over the years.
Well, you're laughing. You heard that when you were a kid, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why if you actually pronounce the L, the two L's.
H-E double hockey sticks. Oh, yes.
Speaking of that, do you see there's Beetlejuice 2 being filmed that's supposed to be coming out soon?
No. I didn't see Beetlejuice 1.
What?
Yeah, I never saw.
No.
The Handbook of the Living Dead?
Do you get out?
Larry, have you seen Beetlejuice?
Of course I have.
Okay.
What did I say? I said a Beetlejuice quote when you were reading the paper. Oh, you had the obituaries on.
Oh, yeah.
I go, business section. Let's see
if I got the Michael Keaton. Is Michael Keaton going to be in this one, too?
I don't know. Is he?
Yep.
They bring you back Winona Ryder.
No.
And Poltergeist this weekend, I think. Poltergeist is this weekend.
We should do something.
We should get a group together. That's going to scare the crap out of me.
Caroline!
That movie disturbed me as a kid.
I can't do I just can't because I won't sleep anymore.
We keep getting mass text messages from people that are on the console right now, and I'm messaging right now saying, "Who is this? We are not on the console. We are at the radio show. Please stop."
Yeah, I've seen the first Poltergeist. That was maybe 8, which is probably the worst mistake you could ever make as a kid. That was when HBO, we just first got HBO, and it's like, oh my God, what's a paid channel? And it's like, ooh, the Saturday night movie.
HBO and cable.
Poltergeist, because nobody knew how to say it in my family.
HBO and cable, when it first came out, HBO and cable together was $5.99.
Poltergeist always scared me because the little girl in Poltergeist looked a lot like Robin when she was born. which is my little sister, so that she had so many problems in the movie.
This house is clean.
Caroline!
In your guys' opinion, as far as Hollywood goes, as far as horror movies go, do you think sometimes they get it right? Seriously. I mean, are there any movies you could point to and say this is an accurate representation?
There are some of my favorites. Like, Poltergeist is, like, my favorite, but there's really no, like, I've never
seen... Actually, I guess the closest to an actual, like, thinking about it in retrospect might be, the one that I can think of might be the original Amityville Horror, just because the activity was so downplayed. You know what I mean? Yeah, you had the eyes in the window and the flies, but there weren't ghosts. There wasn't any crazy.
Or I was even thinking a movie like The Skeleton Key, which I remember right, wasn't so obvious, like, here's the ghost. It was just really freaky stuff happening.
Well, The Skeleton Key wasn't. It was about one ruined body transfer.
One of my favorite, like, if you want to talk about movies, one of my favorites, and you're going to laugh, but still to this day, Ghostbusters, they get into parapsychology right at the very beginning, right at the get-go, parapsychologists, they get into talking about how it's not like you're catching a ghost, you're catching, it's actually got like a biological something. It's got some kind of mass to it. You can catch it, you can take it, you can put it somewhere. I like that. I like how it's, I don't know.
Hell
I like
House.
That feeling that it is.
Hell House was a good one. It was based on the novel Hell House by Richard Matheson, the same guy who wrote I Am Legend. And it's a fantastic movie. It was made in the 70s with the guy from Planet of the Apes.
Huston?
Roddy
McDowell.
Roddy McDowell. And that was a good one too, because it was the same sort of, there weren't ghosts flying around, but there was obvious activity. And, and plus, Hell House was nice because it did add the scientific aspect, because it was about a parapsychologist who pretty much gets hired by a rich guy who's dying, and he pays the guy to go into the most haunted house in America to prove there's life after death. But the archaeologist, or the parapsychologist, builds this device to, like, once it's a fantastic movie, is all I'm going to say. And previous expeditions that went to the house all got killed or went insane, and Roddy McDowell's a survivor from a previous expedition.
1408 was really good, too.
Is that with Cusack?
Yeah.
In the room?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Samuel L. in the refrigerator?
Yeah.
Oh, that was good, yeah.
It was good.
I guess there are some. Actually, The Shining, I guess, was pretty good.
I was just going to say
Shining was good. Yeah.
Shining terrified me when I watched it as a kid. So I guess there are some that... I guess the more...
You can sit there and pick them apart all day long.
The more muted and not so over-the-top the activity is, the closer it is to what happens.
Sure.
That's like the whole, like, malicious ghost attacking people. Strictly Hollywood.
Yes.
Ghosts have never... I mean, some people get scratched or... That's about... But as far as, like, somebody getting dragged up a wall and across the ceiling... Actually, I can't say ghosts have never done it, because technically, I guess when it happened, there's some demonic stuff. But, like, stuff from the Paranormal Activity movies.
Sure.
I would give my right arm to see a sign activity like that.
Well, I mean, they did things. There are certain things in movies like that that you could sit there and go, that's pretty cool, because I've done, like, when they put the powder on the floor to get the footprints.
Yeah.
That was cool. I've done that before.
Yeah.
I haven't had any good experiences with it or anything, but I remember watching a long time ago. Do you remember on Unsolved Mysteries when they had that paranormal investigator with the bushy mustache? I forget his name. He had
Peter James.
The bushy mustache,
Peter
bushy,
James,
bushy
yep.
gray hair.
Peter James. Yep.
He,
the one who talked to the dead.
Yeah,
Peter James.
See, they did a bunch of different things where they went to old aircraft carriers. And then they did one where they were in Florida. There was this, now, and I've actually been there. In Florida, there's this thing called Spook Hill. And what happens is if you park your car, you put it in neutral and it's just sitting there. And then all of a sudden you feel your car start getting pushed and it gets pushed across the road. Apparently, a long, long time ago, there was a carriage, not a carriage, but like the horse and buggy, and they were bringing all these kids to school, like a bus. Well, a horse threw a shoe going over to train tracks. A train came and got all these kids. So it's the kids pushing your car across where the train tracks used to be. So they put baby powder all over a car, and after it moved and all that, they kind of looked at it, and there were little handprints on it. They were able to see like four or five sets of handprints. That's really, really, really
cool. There's a place around here like that.
Is there? I'd love to go and
try
it out.
It's the same deal, but it's a hill. That if you put your car in neutral at the bottom of the hill, your car will go uphill.
Talking about Star
Hill. That's insane.
Is that Star Hill?
I would like to go to one of these places and try it out. Try some things out.
The reverse gravities and those vortexes.
We should find out where that is and go.
There's one near here, yeah.
Surfing in the back of this pickup truck.
Yeah.
But just because of the business you're in, there was a Hollywood movie based on the Robbie case. The Exorcism, filmed in, I think it was 2000 or 1999, Timothy Dalton played the Exorcist for the Robbie case. That's probably the most true to what I would consider real life events that Hollywood's ever actually produced. I don't know if you've seen it.
I can't bear to watch it. I've heard that same thing about that movie.
It's apparently based right on Father Halloran's diary. But he was actually a seminary student at the time, assisting with the exorcism. I don't know why. The main priest there was Father Boder. I would actually like to see his notes on the thing, but the Vatican sealed that. But I mean, they say the movie The Exorcist, that was based on the Robbie case. Nothing like the original notes, if you read from the priests
that
were there.
Is that the boy in St. Louis, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then Skeptical Inquirer, they spent years, they actually tracked the guy down, they found the real-life Robbie, they embarrassed him, this and that, and pretty much equated him to some goofball looking for attention, and none of this happened. And I think at one point, Father Halloran actually recanted, well, you know, things might have been a little more deflated than we made things sound. So I don't really know what the real story is, if there was like the Vatican saying, just go with it and cover it up.
At least what I take away from those stories is, and even, you know, you could find good literature on exorcisms in the church. That's a reality. It's never as crazy as Hollywood makes it out to be. There's never spitting up, you know, nails, you know. But there is a reality that demonic spirits can take a hold on somebody, and there's a ritual that the church has of drawing them out. Now, is it as dramatic as we say it is? No.
And that's why the movie wasn't really profound as far as that, because it doesn't scare. You know, like they always teach you, they gave him the host, he threw the host off. They threw holy water on him, he thrashed around. I mean, it wasn't levitating off the bed, and this, it was just. So you could see the skeptical point of view, oh, it's just some angry kid acting out, looking for attention, blah, 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 blah. Again, just based on, I've read Father Halloran's notes, and compared to the movie, it's pretty much.
Goes back to what I always say, is where do you draw the line between real world, like if your dog really told you to kill someone, or you're being crazy. And unfortunately, I think nowadays, paranormal investigation, or the fact that it could be a paranormal occurrence, a lot of people overlook in favor of just automatically assuming.
Now, what was the Heath Ledger movie with the secret exorcists and stuff that they went in? Did you guys see that?
Was that the one with Anthony Hopkins?
No,
but that was a real good one, too.
The Rite is actually based on...
Oh, yeah, no,
It's an old movie,
The
Rite,
that's what it is with Heath Ledger, isn't it?
No, that's Anthony Hopkins.
The Order?
Oh, okay. The Order, because they had the same name. Jean-Claude Van Damme made a movie where he was a martial arts using a rabbi.
But John Zaffis actually talked about that, where he was actually present, where he seen somebody vomit nails. And he said you could actually see it materialize outside the mouth. It wasn't coming from within, because I've thought about, you know, how the hell are you throwing up
like
nails?
Like those pictures of ectoplasm where they're manifesting outside. It's not coming out of someone's head. It's just showing up, you know? That's kind of cool.
Because it was in the Anthony Hopkins movie, wasn't it? Where they were throwing nails up or something.
The Hopkins movie is based off a book by the same name, which I have. Did I lend it to you? Or no, I think I got it out of the library. The book is very good. The book is very accurate. It's very kind of experiential-based with good research, good hardcore, just honest facts and truth. That doesn't over-dramatize. The movie obviously over-dramatizes something. What I love about the movie is there's a fantastic scene in which Anthony Hopkins, the old Jesuit exorcist, has been possessed. And this young seminarian, who was actually at the time a transitional deacon, had become a priest. Now, the flaw is, and this is me picking it apart, transitional deacon cannot perform the rite of exorcism. And in that situation, it just never could have happened. You need approval, there's psychologists that need to be met with. You can't just, he's possessed, do it. Obviously, for dramatic purposes, the movie happens in this way. And so this kid does the exorcism, but his whole journey is that he's an atheist. Or he's an, I should say, he's an agnostic. He's mm-hmm. questioning.
Yeah, the movie starts off with him trying to leave the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And they're like, don't leave yet, go spend time with Father
so-and-so,
who's an exorcist, and then the exorcist, right? Hopkins was the exorcist, mm-hmm. and he got possessed.
Well, I would think if you want to learn your faith, that's going to be the person who's going to teach you, because you're going to see what you don't want to see.
The beautiful moment happened. This is what I love in the movie in an abstract way. For me as a Christian, is there's a point where the possessed Anthony Hopkins has this kid up against the wall. And he had been trying to hold a rosary in front of his head, but because he didn't believe, the demon was able to like bend and warp the rosary. And finally, the demon taunting him says, "Do you believe now? Do you believe now?" And it clicks in his head, on the guy's head. Finally, he has the faith. He says, "Yes, I do believe." And he goes into the creed of the church as he's saying it with his heart. And that has the power to push the demon back. Which, as a Christian, I think is a powerful image as far as faith goes. But that's got nothing to do with paranormal.
Well, it sort of does.
It's got everything.
I mean, even you guys say, when you leave a site, you say, don't follow me. You know, you say, stay here.
The smart ones of us say that.
I think there's a reality to that, a reality to...
Oh, come on.
What else was I going to say?
I've always been a fan of Exorcist. End of Days was another good one I liked. I mean, I know that's totally Hollywood with Arnold Schwarzenegger and the Vatican Knights, but...
actually, a good one is Serpent in the Rainbow.
Never seen that one, no.
So really, it's based on a true story about a guy who gets paid by a pharmaceutical company. Yeah.
He's not the only one that is.
To go to Haiti and investigate zombies. Mm-hmm. Because the pharmaceutical company wants whatever they're using on people to turn them into zombies. They think it's going to make a good anesthetic. Well, he goes to Haiti and he gets caught up. And the whole point is it really shows voodoo that... The big thing about voodoo is it only hurts you if you believe in it. Well, over the course of the movie, he goes from a non-believer to a believer. But what makes it realistic is he goes through so much. From his perspective, yes, he gets cursed and all this stuff happens. But he suffers so much, like they torture him at certain parts. They drug him. So it makes it out to pretty much is voodoo... Yes. Is voodoo real or is it all just...
In
smoke
your head.
And mirrors, yeah. But if it's smoke and mirrors, they bastard it to the point where they can take. And I mean, he was a doctor, he was a chemist. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he was. But that's one that always gets me. Serpent in the Rainbow.
So we only got 2 minutes left. Yeah. I guess we should give that quick plug that starting next Friday, Memorial Day. No, this is. Well, the real Memorial Day weekend, the 29th.
Woo-hoo!
We'll be starting our lamplight tours Friday night. I believe is actually already sold out for the first paranormal tours. Saturday afternoons for the historic tours. And then we'll be running every weekend through summer, weather permitting.
Every weekend?
Yes.
Every weekend.
The paranormal are every weekend.
Did
the
you see
history
our business card for it that you were
yes,
made?
We got a banner, business cards.
It came out really spectacular, I must say.
We are
I
ready
seen
for the
yet,
show.
So.
They actually have a calendar on the back.
A calendar on the back.
Really?
So they can keep us around all year long.
Dr. Dave really outdid himself with
these. Oh, let me check these out. Oh, I like these. Ooh, very nice.
We have some events coming up, which we'll be putting up online. I believe June 18th, we're having a paranormal cup of rip at the shops at the Finish Line. So if you want to come and have coffee or dinner and talk about anything paranormal related, we'll be there. Again, that's at the shops at the Finish Line.
Meet all your favorite RIP members. I plan on being there.
Excellent.
Oh, I've got some favorite RIP members.
You've seen them.
Absolutely.
We have the John Zappas event coming up on August. August finger, 15. at the shops at the finish line. Tickets are now on sale. They're going to go fast. Everybody who was there last time had a really good time. Then we have the Rutger event on September 26th. That will sell out as soon as we get the ticket system up.
We've already sold, what, 2 tickets?
2 tickets already out of 80.
Impressive.
We have at least 10 other things online.
I know we got some things at Jervis Library.
Two things at Jervis Library.
We got
a schedule will be coming out. And on that note,
Mike, I should have talked about that. Is that what that look was?
No. I almost died this week, Mike. And on that note, I'm Peter Leonard.
Awesome. I'm Steve
Roscoe.
This was Paranormal.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.